You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later, the Boy Scouts of America will allow transgender boys to join, according to an announcement last night. We'll find out what was behind that shift in policy.
First, Wisconsin has a new incoming poet laureate, Carla Houston. She's the author of 8 chapbooks of poems and a poetry collection called A Theory of Lipstick. For that collection, Houston received an Outstanding Achievement Award from the Wisconsin Library Association.
During her term as poet laureate, Houston plans to share her love of poetry with all Wisconsin residents, and she's particularly interested in working with the elderly and memory impaired.
Carla Houston, Wisconsin's new poet laureate, joins us now. Carla, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be here. I love your program, so thank you for inviting me.
Oh, thank you for the kind words. Well, you have an exciting new role ahead of you. What was your reaction to being named Wisconsin's poet laureate?
I was pretty surprised. There are a lot of really fine poets in the state of Wisconsin, so I was pleased and flattered and surprised and very, very happy.
And how do you see your role as a poet laureate for the state?
I really love poetry, so I feel my role primarily is to represent the other really fine poets in the state of Wisconsin, those people who love poetry and those people who aren't too sure about it.
I wonder if you could read us one of your poems now. You shared one possible poem, My Father's Horns. Can you tell us about that one and maybe give us a read?
Yes. My father played tuba in a polka band for more than 30 years in the La Crosse area. And so this poem is for him and his many bass horns that he had. My Father's Horns. Saturday nights he jammed the van, the upright silver bass, or the curvy sousaphone. Back then, the gang played standards, some oompa-pas and little waltzes, and packed the dance floor with suits and full circle skirts. Sometimes a pretty woman sang. My father drove home after, half asleep, a little jazzed, his throat choked with smoke. The horns, their big bells silent, settled once more in the back. Those Saturday night beauties, the ones he held tight, the ones he crooned to, my mother keeping time at home.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you for reading that. And this is so Wisconsin, and you said it was a polka band that he was in.
Yes.
And so now you're pulled. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say he played for many years with the Jerry Gilbertson Orchestra in the La Crosse area.
Hmm.
I know this is a very Wisconsin poem, and you're our state poet laureate. You grew up in Wisconsin, a La Crosse area, and I think you're in the Fox Cities now. Is there something special about writing poetry in Wisconsin and the connection to the state?
Well, you know, Wisconsin has, a lot of unique things about it, from our beer to our Packers to our weather to our ability to survive all of those things. I think also place is very important in my poetry. When we're located in an area, we find our roots and are able to, you know, become successful and see ourselves as where we've landed.
How did you become a poet? How do you know that this is something that you want to be when you grow up?
Oh, I didn't know that. I was actually started quite late. I didn't write poetry in the closet as a child. I went back to school late in life and got a degree in English and was hired to teach high school English and including creative writing at Nina High School, where I worked for 15 years. And I was interested and really liked the wordplay and compression of writing poetry, so I started doing my students' assignments. Then I started taking classes, and it just, you know, exploded from there.
Yeah, given that you've taught poetry writing, what would be your advice to someone thinking, oh, maybe I should try my hand at poetry, but they don't know where to start?
Oh, I would encourage them to become voracious readers of poetry. I don't think that you can really understand the conversation that's going on in the poetry world without being a reader of that. And then, of course, I think that the next step, and maybe two steps taken, coinciding, would be to write. Just do it. Just get out your pen and your paper and start putting words on paper and start playing with them and enjoying the process, listening to the sounds of the words, trying to make meaning of all of the things you put down on your piece of paper.
You mentioned you read a lot, other poets. Who were some of your influences along the way?
Well, I particularly liked women poets, and particularly contemporary women poets. There are a lot of really fine contemporary women poets out there. Probably my favorite poet is Darian Lux, and I've been following her poetry for 20 years. But there are too many to name, and you know, if I leave somebody out, I don't want anyone to feel they've been neglected. But I read a lot, and I also write poetry reviews, so that allows me to be able to read poets whose books I might not normally pick up.
We're talking to Carla Houston. She is Wisconsin's new poet laureate. And Carla, I understand you said that you want to bring poetry to people who suffer from memory loss, maybe people dealing with dementia. How can poetry be helpful to them?
Well, I think that poetry has the same ability as music to tap into memory, to bring back things that a person might have forgotten. Poetry has a musical quality to it. Often you don't even notice it because contemporary poetry doesn't rhyme. But there's an echoing of words and sounds in contemporary poems. A lot of contemporary poetry deals with memory and place, and so there's a resonance in experience. I may not, for example, have had an experience like you did with your father playing, you know, tuba in a polka band, but I have an experience similar to that. And or I may remember a band, or I remember a dance that I attended when I was young. And so I think poetry has that ability to draw and touch people perhaps in places that they've forgotten.
You participate in memory cafes as well. Can you tell us what that experience is like?
Well, I've only done one memory cafe so far, but I have another one scheduled next month, and I'm very much looking forward to working with the folks at the Appleton Public Library. I wasn't quite sure what to expect with the first memory cafe that I attended. I had a plan in mind. And I think I read my poem, My Father's Horns, and the whole group erupted with stories of first dates and dance halls in Outagamie County that they remembered. And it was wonderful. Everyone started talking and chattering. And I was quite surprised because I was expecting to follow this little plan I had down on my piece of paper, and it didn't work out that way. But I think it worked out really well.
And that's inspired you to join in more of those memory cafes?
Yes, I think that the people particularly who are suffering from mild forms of dementia and memory loss and their caregivers are looking for ways that they can reconnect and connect within the community. Aging, especially when you're losing your memory, is very isolating. So the memory cafes throughout the state, and I was looking at the memory cafe directory online this afternoon, and it lists 65 cities, not including Milwaukee, with memory cafes, and some cities with multiple locations. For example, the Fox Valley Memory Project, I believe there are 7 memory cafes in the Fox Valley associated with that. So there's lots of opportunities to get out and talk to people and work with people, work with recitations with people, maybe creating group poems together, some way to be able to join in this community. I'm really looking forward to the experience.
Do you think that part of what's powerful about this kind of work using poetry and memory loss is that it's creating art. It's doing something creative, even when you might not have what you need to tell a novel from front to end, but you can tell a poem and you can still create.
I agree. And so many of the elderly were required when they were in school to memorize poems. And surprisingly, they remember some of the lines, if not the entire poem. But they remember some of the lines because they've, you know, internalized them. When you memorize something, you internalize it. And so it's always there somewhere inside of you.
More broadly, getting back to poetry in general, I think of reading poetry, of course, but it seems like there's been a boom in poetry slams, various kinds of spoken word, live poetry performance. So what do we get out of going and seeing people read their poetry out loud as opposed to just reading it in a book?
Well, it becomes a performance. It's the difference between reading a play and in a book and going to see the performance of that play. You get to see the nuances of the reader or the performer, how he or she handles the work, how he or she presents the work. Interestingly, often poetry slams, the presenters have memorized the poems, and so they are not only reciting them, but they're acting the parts in the poems. So they're quite extraordinary.
Carla, we're living in a time right now when it seems like there's this incredible focus on politics. There's a transition from one White House administration to the other. I know that Rob and I get a lot of our ideas for things on Twitter, and now it's become almost exclusively about politics. Against this kind of backdrop, why does poetry matter?
There's a quote, and I'm going to do it badly, I'm sure, but it's from a poem by Carlos Williams called Asphodel, that greeny flower, where he says, and this is a paraphrase, that it's difficult to get the news from poems, but men, and I'm going to insert women, die every day for lack of what is found there. I think poetry has the ability, particularly in times of political strife, personal strife, to do something for us that no other kind of writing can. We turn to poetry when we've lost someone dear to us. We use poems at weddings and other celebrations. And of course, poetry brings us, I think, back to the heart of the matter.
Carla, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be here today. Thank you.
That was Carla Houston, Wisconsin's new poet laureate.
Coming up, the Boy Scouts of America will allow transgender boys to join the organization. It's a big shift. We'll talk to a guest who says it's a good move. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. This is Central Time.